Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder. Midweek Freak Treat. Sons of Thunder, Episode 7, Brothers Keeper, Part 2. I'm Adam and Urine.
And I am part two of this duo called the Pure Boys, named Urine. I mean, Steve. I'm trying to imagine doing this whole podcast with my eyes shut, and it's very discombobulating.
Well, hey, let's try it. I'll shut my eyes too, and then I'll just hope that it doesn't accidentally stop recording somehow.
Okay, well, you probably should open your eyes like every 30 seconds or something, maybe have a timer. We should probably do this for a different episode.
No, let's do it for this episode. It'll just beep. I'll set a timer. It'll beep every 30 seconds to remind me to open my eyes, and that'll be fine for the audience. They'll love that. Then they'll be able to keep time and know exactly when 30 seconds have passed.
Check the levels. Well, a lot of people, a lot of listeners to this podcast, especially for the Midweek Freak Treats, do it while they're working out. So this will probably help with their HIIT technique. High-intensity interval training, of course.
Of course, yeah. Out there douching the old bag in the backyard, just punching it as hard as you can.
Yeah, exactly what happens in this episode is douching a bag in his backyard. This man owns a house. Did you think this was an apartment?
Well, I think we see him in the backyard in the last episode, but it certainly has apartment vibes to it, absolutely, where it looks very sad on the inside and very like, ooh, that's not a place that somebody should live. That's a very sad place. But maybe it's because of like his dying mother and her bags of urine.
There's too many bags of urine to count, but like sell the house and get an apartment and then don't have to fight people for a living.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like, I have to fight people to pay for my mom. And it's like, just sell your house, bro. Just the market's great right now. It's not 2008 anymore. It's 2019 or 2020. Your house probably quadrupled in value since then.
Yeah, or move to Canada and or Mexico. And get yourself some free drugs.
Exactly. And that way Satan's hand can't reach you. Same with Carver's tiny little baby hand, because Carver's a tiny little baby man.
I swear he keeps shrinking throughout this whole episode. He just gets smaller and smaller. And not like, I'm not trying to put a metaphor in there or some kind of simile or some bullcrap like that. He just legit looks like he's shrinking.
Right, you mean literally he is getting smaller. Well, I think at one point he is like, he's kneeling down and put his shoes on his knees and is like kind of running around in a funny, comical way. I thought that was a weird choice, but it works for him.
And his shoe is like a thimble.
Yeah, and his name is Tom Thumb.
He could play Tom Thumb. That would be very believable to me.
You know, I've realized a problem with this idea of keeping our eyes closed for this episode. We can't see our notes.
I really haven't been taking too deep in notes, especially for the Midweek Freak Treats anyway, so it's not really a loss for me.
Oh, it's such a loss. I have so many notes written down, like this note. What are the odds that this soldier is the star of the next show? 100%.
You think so?
I mean, yeah, right? I mean, we spent two episodes with this Bozo Lee. They're definitely grooming him to be the next, talking about Hollywood grooming. They're definitely grooming him to be the next star of Sons of Thunder, Redemption, yin.
Well, there is a weird, like, muffled line where he says, like, stop grooming me. Mm-hmm. And he must be talking to, like, the writer or the producer on set.
Well, he's probably talking to Brad Heller, star of The Heller Method.
Yeah, which is very cool. Very cool that he knows that that method. Do you think all of these people are from The Heller Method, especially Ringo?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think that Ringo with his tattooed on eyebrows was like a star pupil. It was like Jeffrey Dean Morgan and then Ringo just roofying everybody in the class constantly. Sorry, giving them Ringo specials.
That's where you learn how to roofie without like feeling guilty for it, is The Heller Method, because you don't like method actually give people roofies. You just give them roofies.
You just give them roofies in a safe and controlled environment, and then everyone just has a quick nap. Brad Heller empties all your pockets and takes your wallets and your passports, and then you have to fight in Brad Heller's fight club in order to get all that stuff back. I think it's a pretty good system.
That's a great system. And then like when people like fight back or ask for their money or whatever, you just say, like, that's Hollywood, baby, and kick them out and tell them when to come back.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll see you next week. That'll be $4,000. And they go, oh, well, I don't have any money. And he goes, well, you better start waiting tables, buddy. And that's just how it goes here in Hollyweird.
And, of course, Mr. Heller would obviously say, see you next Tuesday, because it's funnier.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing about Mr. Brad Heller is he's a comedic mastermind, and he's quick with the wit.
People don't know whether it's the roofies that make him funny or his, personality.
Well, he's taking the roofies, too. Like, what? He'll go around, he takes your wallet, he takes your passport, then he hides them, and then he roofies himself so that everybody kind of wakes up around the same time, and he's like, oh, what happened? My head's pounding. I think we all got roofied by somebody. What was in that drink? And then, ha ha ha, everyone has a good laugh, and then next week, you come back, you do it all again.
Well, and nobody questions it because they're all roofied. Like, you're not thinking your clearest in those moments. So everybody, like you said, ha ha ha, and you go about your week. You come back, you get roofied again. It's a vicious roofie cycle.
You keep coming back because after you wake up from being roofied, Brad Heller puts on a karaoke version of Don't Stop Believing, and everyone puts their arms around each other, and they all sing, and they all feel inspired, you know, like, born and raised in South Detroit, and they all sing it together, and it's a beautiful moment. And they're like, all right, it's all good, we'll work this out, you know, God will provide, see you next Tuesday, and then it just happens again, bunch of clowns.
I was doing, like, a slow clap, indicating that I wanted you to see me slow clap.
Couldn't see
but
it.
Then I realized we had our eyes closed, and yeah. I was being an idiot. I really wasn't being a Heller Method Heller.
Well, that's the thing, right? You were being a Heller Method Heller, in that with your eyes closed, you're halfway to being roofied at this point.
Well, I'm definitely halfway to God, that's for sure. What do you think has been the biggest benefit to having your eyes shut so far?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for asking. I think for me, the biggest benefit is picturing how beautiful Brad Heller's face looks and just being able to really cement him in my mind as I talk about him. It makes it a lot easier to talk about him. I'm going to be honest, not even a joke, I am kind of enjoying podcasting with my eyes closed. It's kind of fun.
It's kind of relaxing. I feel a little bit more at ease with my entire life. I feel like I'm really hearing you. I'm really hearing God's influence in this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I just feel closer to him.
I'm hearing the roofie coursing through my veins as we speak. My heart rate is pounding. I can hear it in my ears. It hurts.
Well, we should definitely do Roofie Month, and we should
That's a great
roofie
idea.
Each other, not ourselves, because that would be sacrilegious, I think.
Of course.
And then we should record a podcast.
Well, and the thing is, like, it'll be roofied in secret, so we'll call it Roofie Month, where we'll watch all of the Hangover movies, and we'll each provide each other with 4 bottles of water, and we'll roofie one of those bottles, and each week we'll pound a bottle, and then one of us will get roofied during the show, or maybe both of us get roofied in the same episode. That'd be fun, too.
That's really smart.
Thanks.
It would also be really funny if, like, no episodes come out in Roofie Month.
It's just like we put out just episodes that are 90 minutes of dead air that have the title The Hangover 2.
Yeah. Well, somebody got roofied that episode. I like your plan, though, of having 4 bottles of water and then one of us. What if we both get roofied on the same episode?
That's what I'm saying. That's the fun of Roofie Month is you never know. Yeah. You pound the water. Sometimes, I mean, here's the thing. There's a good chance that at least 3 of the 4 episodes, or at least half the episodes, are going to be just good, solid episodes. And then at least in 1, maybe 2 of them, one or both of us will be roofied, and it's going to be kind of a weird time. If I'm roofied, it's going to be really hard because there'll be very long episodes because I don't know how long roofying lasts. And if I hit record and then pass out, then you got to talk for like 6 hours maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem at this stage is that we're so ignorant of the roofying process.
Mm-hmm.
We're going into it cold, and we have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, I think what we should do is sign up for the online Heller Method course. I feel like we've barked up this tree before, and we just need people to buy more Yiz mugs so we can sign up for the Heller Method course. And then when we start the course, we roofie ourselves, and we go, ha, we got to jump on you, Brad Heller. Now you can't roofie me in my own home. And then we learn through osmosis while Brad Heller talks into our headphones. When we come out of it, then we know exactly how to roofie people and the time it takes and all that kind of stuff. All the science.
Yeah, this will give us the correct information to deal with the Heller method, to get into the Heller method, to get to know and get the trust of Brad Heller.
Right? Because we're putting our life in his hands. We're going, look, we're not trusting your method. We're going to do our own method, and you can. But we're just trusting you that you're not going to steal our wallet, fly all the way to Haiti and steal our wallet and passport, and then fly all the way back. Again, I don't know how. Maybe roofing lasts for like 36 hours and it'll give them time to get to Haiti. I don't know, but that's the risk we're going to have to take and the experience we're going to have.
Call me crazy.
You're
but
crazy.
If we fly down to California and, you know, get into the Heller method, go to the class, I'm probably not going to take my passport with me.
To the class?
To the class, yeah. I'm probably not going to leave it at the hotel or the Airbnb or wherever we're staying.
Well, here's the thing, though. When you sign up for the Heller method, if you're an out-of-town student, Brad Heller picks you up at the airport and takes you to his house. You stay with Brad Heller the whole time you're there while you're taking the Heller method. He's got a giant palatial mansion that is just rooms upon rooms upon rooms, and so, you know, and the courses overlap, so you might be staying with somebody who is on week three of the Heller method and their body's already getting kind of used to the roofies, and you're week one and you're just like, you know, you're out there, they're calling you Dozer
because I'm so roofied. I just don't take to roofing quite like the other classmates.
Yeah, some people take to it like a duck to water, and some people take to it like oil and water.
Yeah, like a duck to oil.
Oh, hey, be careful, counselor.
I gotta say, I think the Heller method is for us. I'm not too sure about the roofing yet, but again, we're ignorant. We want to learn. Teach us your ways, Heller.
Exactly. We're two dumb libtard cucks. Please teach us your ways out in California, Brad. Bradley, please. Bradley, teach us. Give me Jeffrey Dean Morgan's phone number.
Give me all of your students' phone numbers, especially if they're rich and successful. I definitely want David A.R. White's number.
Oh my gosh. See, that's the thing, is once we get in good with Brad Heller, then we're like, we're kissing cousins with David A.R. White like it's nobody's business. And like Reggie too? Oh my god. We're already halfway in.
They're probably having backyard barbecues like every single day. I mean, you're in California. There's got to be a backyard barbecue somewhere.
Imagine attending David A.R. White, or imagine attending David A.R. White's 4th of July backyard barbecue. What an event that would be. All the stars would be there.
And all the fireworks go up and like turn into crosses.
Of course.
Or I guess halos. David probably saves a penny and just gets like circle and like line fireworks.
Well, of course. He's a busy man. He runs a video streaming empire. He doesn't have time to. Oh my god. Hey, real quick. Have you been do you read the emails that PureFlix sends us?
No, I haven't for a spell.
They have now added some Kendrick Brothers movies to PureFlix, and I was so excited. I had to hit them up on Instagram and express my excitement. They've added War Room to PureFlix, and that's just opening the door to Overcomer, Facing the Giants, Courageous, Flywheel, I think there's
the others.
And the rest. Just very exciting to see those two worlds merging and meeting and just combining into one.
I'm so glad that the Kendrick brothers didn't, like, go the ass route and try to start their own streaming service and, like, butt heads with PureFlix. I mean, it would be great for us and our podcast if such were to happen. But I'm glad they were able to hold hands and get through the streaming wars together.
They'd be real buttheads if they were going to butt heads with David A.R. White.
Yeah. Well, then it would be on. But competition does breed purity.
That's true. Yeah. And it's if it's a race to the purest, I think the Kendrick brothers might have a bit of a head start.
What do you think the Kendrick brothers would call their streaming service? Like, Pure Movies?
Oh, probably like Pure Flix, but Flick is spelled F-L-I-C-K-S.
Yeah, like that's their big hang-up with Pure Flix, is that they used an X. Like, how dare they?
Yeah, it's basically a sideways cross, and that's the most, it's the most offensive letter for that reason. Well, actually, probably T is probably the most offensive letter, but in their case, they misunderstood. They didn't quite get the memo on that. X is the most offensive number for them. Letter, sorry. My eyes are closed.
Well,
I can't think straight.
Well, it's a number letter type situation. It's also trying to, you know, get those teens to watch And you're not going to get the teens that way. You got to stay true to yourself and to English.
Teens love proper grammar. They love flicks spelled F-L-I-C-K-S.
Well, now they do. Yeah. Teens for a little while, they were kind of anti-grammar, and now they're back.
Who isn't anti-grammar these days?
Can I ask your permission to open my eyes for a second so I can have a drink of water?
You can ask, but I will not grant it.
Shiza.
Sorry. Should I held your bottle
well,
in your hand like I'm
closed,
doing?
So I guess I could have just done it, but like, I gotta stay pure. I gotta stay with the task at hand.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you said, oh man, this water that I'm drinking is so, I'm so happy I kept my bottle in my hand, fully anticipating the moment when I would need it with my eyes closed.
I opened my eyes.
Oh my god. All right, well, I guess it's over. I guess the fun's over.
I reclosed them.
Okay, well, that's good. I gotta open my eyes because I gotta look at my notes because I can't remember what happens in this episode. And it's the series finale.
Yeah, we could be like 40 minutes in. Who knows?
That's just it, right? Who knows how long we talked about roofying? I hope it wasn't like 15 minutes, but maybe it was. I guess I'm gonna open my eyes and take
a peek. It was at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was like it was an audience quitting long time.
Nobody listens to the Midweek Freak Treaks. We're doing gangbusters on the regular episodes, but this is for us.
Well, here's the thing. Normally you're right, but for some reason, Some Men Like a Chinese Wife episode of Midweek Freak Treat is blowing up on YouTube for some reason, and I'm not thrilled about it. I wish that the episode where I said Chinese was a funny word wasn't the one that was doing really good numbers for us.
Yeah, that's the one that breaks up. Open the whole podcast and we become super famous.
Yeah, that's the one where we get our YouTube like silver plaque from them for subscriber counts. Very excited about that.
Well, Elton John, as you know, is very fastidious when it comes to the internet and when he's being mentioned. So he probably listened to this podcast, loved it, told all of the UK, and now we're doing great.
And he didn't even care that I played a good chunk of Hercules at the end of the episode. He didn't even care about that. He was like, it's all good, guys. I get what you're doing. Some Men Like a Chinese Wife. It's funny stuff. I get it. I love the show. No harm done. You can monetize this episode. And we went, thank you, Sir Elton John. He's a sir.
Well, he's very, flamboyant with his dress. And that's the kind of person you want to knight.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, for sure, right? Well, hey, this episode... this episode is a real violent punch fest of an episode of Sons of Thunder. What did you think of all the violence in this episode?
Untowards. I did not like it. I didn't appreciate it. I hope God forgives them for making this episode. But it was just so violent and brutal throughout, and the shots and the angles were just absolutely perfect every time that it, like, really intensified the brutality of it. So I was kind of taken aback, to be honest. What did you think of the brutality during this episode?
Oh, I loved it. I'm a man who loves violence. I love Cain and Abel. I love all that stuff. It gets my rocks off. Show me two giant dudes slapping meat. That's what I want to see.
But not meat in the other way. The book is not sexual.
No.
It's very violent.
Yes. But not sexual at all. Jesus' best friends were prostitutes. Not sexual at all. But this episode really comes full circle when it comes to Big Dumb Bunny's story and his history with the Hell's Hand. Devil's Hand? Is that his gang name?
Yeah, Devil's Hand.
The Devil's Hand and their gang of rough and tumble customers.
They certainly are, and they come out of the woodworks in this episode, except for Angie. He decided not to show up at the end.
Well, he's retiring.
Well, you gotta bring that up. Do you think they'll let him go? Is retiring just getting shot in the back of the head?
It must be, right? Like, cause he even says, like when he's talking to Big Dumb Bunny, when Big Dumb Bunny first joins the gang, he's like, you know, once you have this mark, you're part of the Devil's Hand forever, and you can, you know, men stay with us forever, or else they have to leave, and some of them just quit. And all I could think was like, damn, dude, like, yeah, is retirement just being forced to dig your own grave out in the desert and being buried with your motorcycle? That's kind of a sweet way to go.
I think that's the way we should go. Like, once you're useless, why not just go into the ground?
Amen to that. Yeah, as soon as you hit, like, Well, for women, as soon as you hit 40 and you can no longer have children,
40
into the ground. For men, you can last a little longer, maybe into your 60s, something like that. We'll see how it goes. But then straight into the ground.
Yeah, it'll help with population control. It'll make people super religious.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's all you need, really.
That's all you need. Yep. Well, hey, we'll explore that in our religious movie about angels helping a baseball team win the pennant and then people finding out that angels are real and how it destroys the whole world because it just changes everything.
Yeah, we got to talk a lot about population control at the beginning of that movie just so it's not crazy when we start, like, murdering... Or, like, having people die at the ripe old age of 40.
Yeah.
I think 40 is enough. Even men.
Sure.
Yeah, your bones are still good. You're still producing testosterone. You can still nut and create a human being.
Yeah.
But, like, 40's done.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, that's a good call. And we should set it in, like a futuristic science fiction universe where people have, like... I don't know, maybe like diamonds in their hands that flash colors when it's time for them to go off and die. What do you think about that?
Like robes too.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything's large and white and very shiny.
Brilliant. Brilliant, yeah, shining white.
Yeah, then let's do that. Should aliens be involved?
I think it would be better if it was just like a totalitarian society. We could call the movie Logan's Run.
How about Logan's Hero?
Oh, I like that. Set it during World War II. That sounds fun. What about just Logan? What if we just do a movie about a man who can regenerate and he's got claws in his hands and we just call it Logan?
Yeah, that's good too. I don't like the regenerating part, but I think you have to have it in there.
What if his regenerating, like, because he's old, it wasn't working very well anymore? And, like, maybe even his claws kind of get stuck, and it's like, he's just not, he's coming to the end of his time as well. He's almost 40 in that movie. And so it's about him just kind of, like, slowing down and seeing the end of his era. What do you think about that?
Okay, so the movie's called This Is 40, and it's about Logan losing his powers.
And it's about Paul Rudd trying to get his butthole waxed, and that's mostly what it's about. But, you know, 40, what a crazy age.
Yeah, I'll never turn 40.
No.
Never.
Never. No. Put me in the ground at 39. Thank you very much.
I'm going right to 41, I think.
Oh, that's interesting. Forever 41.
Forever in jeans.
Hey. Boy, for an episode that started off talking exclusively about roofying, we're really just free associating now.
We're in a association spiral, and it's not good to listen to.
No. Do you want to play Zip Zap Zop?
What's that?
Well, it's a great improv game where one person says zip, the other person says zap, and then a third person would say zop. In our case, I guess...
So we'll start with the two, and then we'll sit here in silence until somebody, like, calls in?
Well, I'm assuming that, like, the listener at home will be screaming zop wherever they are. No matter where you are.
Yeah, but we can't hear them.
Yeah, well, we'll pretend that we can. They're at home, they're in the gym, wherever they are, they're driving their car, they're in church, secretly listening to it on their ear, on their AirPods, and they're just screaming zop at the top of their lungs.
I don't like to pretend like that. That's crazy pretending to me. Trying to think of somebody theoretically listening to this podcast and saying one word?
Zop.
I don't know, man.
Zop. That's a zop.
Well, that's you.
How do you know that? Maybe it was in your imagination. Maybe your eyes are closed. Your other senses are heightened. Maybe you're just hearing someone yelling zop.
Zip.
Zap. That's a zop for you.
Yeah, that's a mucho zop for you.
Oh,
do you think of this episode?
Oh, of the podcast? F-. We're never doing a closed-eye podcast ever again. This episode has been hot garbage. What have we done to this show? Well, who cares? Sons of Thunder is done. It's never coming back. Until next week, when it comes back as Sons of Thunder Redemption, where we follow Lee, the soldier who is Big Dumb Bunny's friend, and he works for Carver at the motorcycle shop, and he also fights for Carver, and he wins his fight tonight, so good for him.
Now, did you think the fight between... the Devil's Hand guy and
Baalbek,
the future star of Revelation Road,
Lee,
Do you think that was a fair fight? I didn't think the guy was that much bigger than him.
You didn't think that giant man was that much bigger than tiny little Twink Lee?
No, not that much. Like, I didn't see that much of a discrepancy. Like, you should have, like, a jungle man. That came up wrong.
Wow.
I was thinking of Tarzan from Magic Mike.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Tarzan, sure. Yeah, we call him a jungle man. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Jungle man Randy Savage.
A real Kevin Nash type whose knees are broken just like Big Dumb Bunny's and whose punches are soft just like Big Dumb Bunny's, but yet somehow they just rock people like 30 feet back.
When do you think tall people start regretting their size? Other than like immediately, but like physically when your knees start going, that must be like 30 or 35, hey?
Yeah, probably. I'm guessing they regret their size the moment they can't just go to a Target and buy clothing or shoes or anything like that. Like as soon as they have to go to a specialty shop, they're probably like, oh, my life sucks. I hate this. I wish I wasn't 6'7", which I guess is tall.
Hey, son, why are you crying in there? I can't go to Target. Yeah, I can see that.
Son, of course you can go to Target. They sell all kinds of great merchandise. They sell water. They sell action figures. They sell lawn garden furniture, all kinds of things, but just not clothing for you. I'm so sorry.
But it's not my size. I need more water.
And that's the thing. You can't sit in regular like lawn chairs or anything like that. They're too small for you now.
Yeah, you got to put a cardboard box underneath.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in that sense it's not too... Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you meant. I thought you meant like, well, I don't know. I thought you were laying it out flat like they were going to breakdance on it.
Oh, if only. Tall people famously cannot breakdance.
I disagree. Shaq was a part of the Jabberwockies. You can definitely breakdance if you're really tall.
They felt bad for Shaq. They didn't really want him in the Jabberwockies.
Yeah, they did.
They felt bad for him because he was getting a divorce.
Yeah, they heard he was getting a divorce, and they said, look, Shaq, hey, Shaq, it's us, the Jabberwockies. We heard you're getting a divorce. We got a mask for you. Why don't you come and just pop and lock a little bit on stage? Maybe you could sing Shaq Diesel or something like that, and, you know, we'll make you forget all your woes. And he was like, oh, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
How about you fix my marriage first? And Jabberwockies couldn't do it. I mean, no. If anybody could fix a marriage, it would be the Jabberwockies.
Shaq called them. He said, look, I'll join your crew as long as you pop and lock my marriage back into place. And they said, we're so sorry, Shaq. We can't do that. We're just men. We're not gods. We can't fix a broken marriage. And he was like, I don't give a shit. Fix it anyway. But he joined, and it all worked out for him.
Yeah, like, that's the way the skeletal system works, Shaq. Not marriages. You can't pop and lock a marriage back into place, especially when you cheated on her.
Well, you can pop open a box with a ring in it and then lock that ring onto your wife's finger and then it's kind of fixed it, right? Yeah.
Kobe style.
Well, we got to be close to 30 minutes at this point, right?
Yeah, something close to it, but you don't want to talk about Kobe and buying a ring?
Not particularly. Okay. I respect the deceased too much to talk about Black Mamba Kobe Bryant.
Okay, yeah.
Are you happy?
Kind of happy. No. I got a nice evening looking forward to.
You're about as happy as Lee when he took the bag of money and punched Carver in the face and said, if you come after me, Carver, I will put you in the dirt. And Carver's like, I am almost 40. Thank you.
He is close to the dirt because he's so short.
Exactly. And that's the scariest thing about being short. Yeah.
That's why you want a Tarzan-like man to be tall and have no knees.
Excuse me. I think you mean now- a jungle man.
I regret saying that. I would like you to bleep when I said jungle man earlier. You don't have to bleep it now.
It's just going to make it sound so much worse if I bleep if the first time. It's going to just make it sound
bleep
like
man.
I want a jungle bleep. And they'll go, oh, God, what could he have possibly said after that? Oh, no.
Although that sounds better because I could have said anything like a jungle banana.
Well, but why would I censor banana?
Well, because it's Randy, baby. Banana is one of the most sensual fruits.
What are some other sensual fruits?
I'd have to say grapes only because of the way that the Greeks ate them.
Lounging on a chair, being fed them from the vine, of course.
Very sensual. What's your top sensual fruit?
Probably like a pomegranate cut in half, or like a watermelon with a hole carved in it, or honeydew with a hole carved in it, or like a cantaloupe with a hole carved in it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I get it.
I think you do too. I think
maybe
you get
put
it.
Some whipped cream in that hole.
I'm winking at you. You can't tell though, because my eyes are closed and your eyes are closed. So by winking, I mean I'm just kind of like scrunching half my face.
What did you think of Sons of Thunder season one?
Series one. It was fine. It was okay. It was bad. I don't know. It was certainly a PureFlix original, the highest budgeted looking one, but it was no Malibu Dan. It was no Whoa, A Crash Into the Wall. It was better than Fat Bitch, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, and it was better than the Beverlys. But you know, there's no Kate. You know, there's no Reggie.
If only there were a Kate. I mean, they tried to have a Kate, but she wasn't there, like, even a quarter of the time.
Yeah, and she just wasn't Kate, you know? She didn't seem like a good mother the way Kate did, and that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, so should we do a ranking of what we did so far for Midweek Freak Treats as far as bottom and top?
Sure, and then we have to sing all the theme songs, and then that's the end of this episode.
I don't want to. I think the theme song thing, I don't know.
All right, well, no end, I guess. All right.
Okay, so my ranking.
Start at the bottom.
For very, very best.
Sure. Okay, start at the top.
Malibu Dan.
Yeah, the family
number
man.
Number one with the bullet.
Yeah, Malibu Dan and Malibu Dan Reloaded.
And Reloaded, which was a whole thing.
Number one with a bullet. My favorite as well. All right, let's sing that theme song.
Number two, Whoa, A Crash Into the Wall. What was that called? Hitting the Brakes.
It was called Wake Up to a New Day Dawning. A picture has a thousand words in this town. Everyone take their... Yeah, everyone take their place who's needed.
Well, that was Malibu Dan, of course.
That was Malibu Dan, yeah. And then number two of the bullet, obviously... hitting the brakes. Race car driver to 25 and then whoa, crashed into the mall. Yeah, beautiful. So that one was great. That's number two with a bullet, hitting the brakes.
Number three for me is FB, Fat Bitch.
Really? All right. Well, yeah. Why?
I really liked tackling something 5 minutes at a time. I thought it was new. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was just, you know, pat on our backs for thinking of that and doing it.
Well, we can certainly do that again for another Midweek Freak Treat. Not Fat Bitch again, but just some movie broken up into 5 minute chunks.
And then Sons of Thunder and then Beverly's.
Okay. I would swap Sons of Thunder and Fat Bitch. But I love Big Dumb Bunny, and just riding off the success of his role as Big Dumb Bunny in Hitting the Brakes and then parlaying that into this role as Big Dumb Bunny, the Biker Bunny, I just thought it was perfect. And Fat Bitch and the Beverlys are fine. The Beverlys was easily the worst show we watched. That show was hot garbage. Sorry, Tommy Blaze. That show sucked. It was terrible. But listen up. This is our story of how we became the Beverlys.
That was fun. I feel like Sons of Thunder peed me off so much because it was very close to being an okay show to watch.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's telling that I couldn't tell you really what happened in the series. I couldn't really tell you, like, he's on the run from his biker gang, I guess, for some reason. It's still, again, not clear why he's on the run from his biker gang, even though he meets up, the biker gang shows up at the big fight, and he has to deal with his past, but then he doesn't, and then he just runs away again, and then nothing's really resolved. And I know that the next series is maybe going to open with him getting murdered and then the next guy taking over, so I guess we'll never know what happens to old Big Dumb Dozer.
Well, it would be a shot in the arm for this series if we do get to find out all of our questions in the next series.
And hey, listeners, sometimes an episode just doesn't come together, and you try your best, you try something new, you try podcasting with your eyes closed, and you get lost in the weeds, and you put out a real hunk of crap. I'm going to open my eyes. Stick with us, though, because next week we're doing Sons of Thunder Redemption, Episode 1, question mark on the title. I don't know what it'll be yet. But I'm going to open my eyes. I'm going to see how far into this episode we are, and then we'll hit the music and be done with this. How does that sound, Steve?
That sounds absolutely wonderful. And usually when we think an episode is hard garbage, especially while we're recording, it turns out to be the best one ever. So you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no, that won't be the case this time. Here we go. I'm going to open my eyes, and we're at, 37 minutes. Perfect. I can cut out so much crap out of this episode. That's great. Well, until next week, yin. Keep fit and have fun.
Have funk.
All right, come on. There we go. Sons of Thunder.
I think this episode cool.
Sons of Thunder. Nah, it's bad. It's a bad one.
No, it's a good one.
Well, agree to disagree.